Okay, well, hello everyone. Welcome to the Bonner Breakdown. This is Chris, and we are excited today to have Christine DeNova with us from Life Choices Pregnancy Center. If you, oh my goodness, we're going to start the whole thing over. The go live thing, it showed up and it went, but then I just see it's not actually there yet. So hang on. I love this. All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Bonner Breakdown. It's Chris Bassett, and I'm here with Christine DeNova. Christine, welcome to the Bonner Breakdown.
Thank you so much. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah. Well, we always want to do a couple of quick things as we get started. And one of the first things that we always want to start with is just saying thank you to the sponsors and to the different entities that have helped us get to where we are today. And of course, that's Bonner Community Housing Agency. BCHA has done a lot in this community to help provide home ownership opportunities for local families. We work on developing local housing. That means people who want to live and work here, that they be able to stay here and not have to move south or move somewhere else in order to stay or find a job or find a place that's affordable in their price range. So BCHA has been working hard at that. We'll be working on some community land trust activities. I actually have, on one of my shows coming up, we will have an interview with a community land trust expert on here, and that'll be very informative for people to understand what we do with community land trusts and how it can maintain affordability long term. So thanks to BCHA for your support. And of course, thank you to Ting. Ting has been a great sponsor, done a great job with us. And I believe, you know, not only they didn't just sponsor this episode, they sponsored this whole season. And Ting is a fiber internet company that provides crazy fast fiber internet to homes and businesses all throughout the area. If you don't have Ting at your house yet, you can go to ting.com/Sandpoint. Register there. When you register there, you are on their radar and where they're going to expand, whether that's south of town, whether it's north, east, west. Just go ahead and get signed up there at ting.com/Sandpoint to learn more about the best, fastest internet in town. And it really is stupid fast. Like, I'm always like, what? You know, the reality of the speed is awesome. So thank you, Ting, as well. And now we have to go to the good report. So, Christine, yeah. I think you've seen a few of the shows. You know, at the beginning of every show, we do what's called the good report. And we do a cheers at the end to the good report. But I'd love to know, what's your good report? What do you got?
Well, I just have to say that I'm so impressed with this community. And in particular, the donors that donate to our ministries. Mm. They have been just incredible over these last several weeks with this coronavirus. You know, we all are aware that there have been some missing items on the grocery shelves for quite some time. And we happen to be, you know, a pregnancy center. Mm-hmm. And we have a store. It's actually, the stuff is free to our clients, but we call it the store. And, you know, for a lot of people, not just our clients, but a lot of moms have been facing this empty shelves of diapers and wipes. And our donors just took it upon themselves to contact us and say, hey, you know, we happen to be at the grocery store today and found some diapers and we wanted to drop them by for your clients. And
come on, thought
that was amazing. And so then what we did was we went ahead and opened up our store for diapers and wipes only to the entire community, not just your clients. And so we have seen several people, and we're posting it on Facebook and having people share it, because, you know, we want to help everyone and anyone that we can, especially during this time. But yeah, we've been able to give diapers and wipes to several people, and we ran out a couple of times of certain sizes, and our donors were quick to answer our call on Facebook to refill. And it's just been amazing how everyone's just collectively coming together to help one another.
That's awesome. We always appreciate, you know, how generous this community is. I think sometimes when we're not in the midst of a crisis, we kind of can forget how generous this community is. And it's just an absolute amazing thing to see so many different people totally step up and do something. Some things like that, just dropping off extra supplies is great. So that's good. And for me, you know, I think one of the things that I saw is different CPAs and tax professionals are doing webinars throughout the area to help small businesses understand the stimulus money and how to not only interact with the government concerning getting those loans so that they can make payroll for the next couple of weeks, you know, all that kind of stuff. So having local people who are just like, hey, we're going to do free webinars. We want to get people on here, teach them how to businesses, how to utilize the funding that is available to them while we're in some a huge economic downturn from the coronavirus. So I say kudos to those people that are pouring out that little bit extra to help small businesses make sure that they're getting what they need to keep our economy moving along here so that we don't take a nosedive, but a dip. So hopefully that continues to go well. So that, I think that's a good report, you know, of more people chipping in, stepping in, helping out in the ways that they can in order to make sure that the needs are met here in the community. So you got a cup, you got a mug. What do you got with you? Okay. So let's just say cheers to the good report. We'll go ting.
Cheers.
Yep. And then let's. Oh, man, it tastes really good doing it in person with somebody. I'm telling you, just the flavor just explodes in your mouth. It's amazing. So I want to say, for some of our people watching live, Jennifer, it's good to see you. Jennifer Hauk is on live. And Jennifer, we miss you. I know you have cruised down to Cali, but blessings. She says blessings and thanks. And thank you for all you do. And then, of course, your husband's watching. And
yeah, he's says, a biggest fan.
Right. Oh, I froze. He said, rock star. He says, rock star, blessings to you both. I'm her biggest fan. So, okay. You know, there you go. And so feel free, if you are in the live chat, hey, Drew Meredith, it's good to see you on here as well. We want to give some shout outs to people. Feel free to ask questions throughout. If you're on live, feel free to ask questions. And we are going to do our best to try and answer those questions. If you have comments, we want to interact with the public as much as possible on the Bonner Breakdown now that we're moving into live streams. You're my fourth live stream in a week. So, you know, I'll tell you, this is pretty funny, Christine. I had, we have this amazing studio here, right? I mean, it's just, you know, we're just beyond blessed. When this idea came up, I went out and raised some money, and it just kind of flew in. The money just came out of nowhere, kind of. And we were like, wow, okay, so there's a demand for this. And we just started putting it together. Well, I had the hardest time getting guests in the studio. Like, it was like setting up the time, and they'd have to come in and set aside an hour, and you know, and then this whole COVID-19 happens, and getting people online on Zoom into my digital cave here, into the studio, you know, the Bonner Breakdown digital cave, it's like everybody's available, like boom, boom, boom. And I think, of course, schedules are different, you know, and things like that. So, but it's been fun to get people, even you. We've tried for how long to get you on this thing?
Yeah, for months.
Oh, yeah. Well, welcome. Sheila Toldness says that her staff loves her too. So,
I love Sheila and all my staff. They're amazing.
Awesome. Well, Christine, give us your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of your story.
Well, I'm nobody special. I'm just a person who has come to know Jesus Christ, and through that relationship, he's changed me, and I've been able to see the need of other people, and he has brought me to a place where I can use my passion to help people, and it's been amazing. I have a wonderful husband who I've been married to for 26 years, and we haven't had a perfect marriage. We've had our ups and downs, but the amazing thing is that we continue to fight for our marriage and fight for each other. And when we went through a really difficult time in our marriage, but we put God at the center of our marriage and everything changed.
That's awesome. And
so, yeah, so our marriage has been one that people dream of, that I dreamt of. And cool. It's been such a blessing, but it was a lot of hard work. And
right.
we both have definitely put in the time and the effort, and now our marriage is it's so much better than I ever imagined.
That's
so
great.
I'm so grateful for my husband, who is such a loyal, wonderful man. So
yeah, we like him. We like him. You know, Ron's a cool dude. You know, we he's pretty awesome. So now you're not originally from the Sandpoint area, right?
No, we came here from Chicago, and I have to say, we have a wonderful son, Callum.
Okay.
He's awesome. He's 21 and he's 22 now. He just turned 22. And he's got such a kind, loving heart. He's an amazing, amazing young man.
That's awesome.
But so anyway, we came from Chicago and we got here in 2006.
Why? What takes you from Chicago to Sandpoint? Like, how does that happen?
Well, it was my husband. I followed him, you know, I'd follow him. he was working at the Board of Trade in downtown Chicago for 19 years, and you know, got to a place where we just were tired of the hustle and bustle of Chicago. We were really growing in our faith, and we really wanted to, you know, go to a place where it was more, it was a smaller town, and where we could just focus more on family and community. And so he was riding the train home one day from downtown Chicago to the suburbs of Chicago, and he saw this article in the USA Today about
I love it.
A year later, here we were. So it's just amazing. And we have never once regretted that decision. We have been so happy to be here, and it was just the right thing.
That's so great.
Yeah, we love it.
That's so awesome. And so when you guys moved here, what was your thing? Cause were you working? Were you getting involved in some, you know, nonprofit projects? Kind of what was your scoop? You know, Ron began working for the bank here, one of the banks here locally. And what was your scoop? What were you up to?
I was actually, my job moved with me. I was working at DeVry University at the time.
Okay.
And they wrote a pilot program so that I could work from home. They'd not done that before. So I was working from home. And so for the first year or so, I was doing that. And then things changed, and I really wasn't feeling like, you know, I wanted to work part-time, and DeVry wanted to pull me back into the full-time arena. And so Ron and I were, we just had a conversation, and he said, I think it's time for you to just, you know, leave your job, give them notice, and we'll just pray about what God wants you to do. And maybe you'll just be volunteering at Cal school more or whatever. And so we did that. And 2 weeks later, my pastor at our church called me and said, we have a job that we think you'd be perfect for. And I wasn't even, you know, looking.
Right. Yeah. You weren't even in that space yet. Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
Like, I'm so not funny. Sure I'm the right person.
Sure. Yeah.
So, we met and I met the staff and they told me about the position. And so
seemed to fit.
So yeah. I was there for 6 years.
Yeah. And then after that, you moved on and began, you know, kind of looking for another place to kind of plant your feet in the community. And what was that process like?
Well, actually, I left Cedar Hills and I was really sick at the time. And so I went through a several month long illness. And wasn't really looking for another job at the time, but my pastor and his wife recommended me for a job at Life Choices Pregnancy Center, and I told them that I really appreciated the support that they were showing me and that I would consider it, but that I was no shape to take on a full time role. And so,
right.
Over the next several months, I was praying about it as I told them I would. Then another person from a completely different town even contacted me and said, the Life Choices Pregnancy Center is looking for an executive director and I think you'd be perfect. So wow. I'm talking to the chairman of the board and I'd like to recommend you. And so I was like, okay, all right, I'll engage in that process.
Right.
So I did.
That's so great.
And it turned out to be me that the board chose to hire. And it's been the most amazing experience for me. I am so grateful to be here.
That's so great. So we got a couple of things coming in live here. We've got your mom says she's watching.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you know that she's so technically challenged? I'm amazed that she got on.
That's awesome. Well, it says the moms are watching.
Yes.
And then, of course, Ron's mom says she is beautiful. And then, isn't that sweet? Jennifer says, Christine, you're somebody special from the bottom of my heart. Jason and I are so grateful for both you and Ron, your friendship and support when we so desperately needed it. Heart, LYNW. I'm not sure what that means, but I think that's sweet. And then, of course,
love you no matter what.
Love you no matter what. Nothing you can do about it.
That's right. I love you guys. Thanks,
House. Yeah, awesome. So you end up working at Life Choices. How long have you been there?
I've been at Life Choices since December of 2014.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's been an amazing, amazing place to work. The support of the people there, my team is phenomenal. I mean, God specifically placed each person on the staff there.
That's cool.
I have no doubt. They all are so talented and so devoted. It's awesome. I have an amazing board of directors that I could not live without. They're amazing. They all work so hard to make sure that Life Choices is a ministry that loves people and shows the love of Jesus to everyone that we can.
Cool. Now, so tell me what are the functional things that Life Choices Pregnancy Center does? Like what's the ministry activities that are involved there?
So normally, not during this season.
Hey, everybody's had to shift a little bit, right?
Yeah. So we offer medical grade pregnancy test, limited ultrasound imaging to determine whether a pregnancy is viable and in the uterine wall. We also offer limited STD testing and treatment. So we test for and treat for gonorrhea, chlamydia, and trichomoniasis.
Okay.
Then those are three of the most common in our area.
Okay.
We do parenting and life skills classes as well for our clients. So when women and men come to us, it's typically because they are facing an unplanned pregnancy.
Okay.
And they're trying to figure out what are we going to do?
Yeah, lots to navigate there.
Yeah, lots to navigate.
Yeah.
Three legal options that they face. You know, they can either parent.
Mm-hmm.
They can place the child in a loving adoptive home,
uh-huh.
or they can also choose abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And being a ministry of Jesus Christ, of course, we don't provide for or refer for abortions at our ministry. However, we do want to educate our clients fully on all three of those options so that they can make a choice that they can live with, a choice right. that they really feel is the best for them. Mm-hmm. So we give them all the information on those three options. And then for those that do choose to become parents, we offer parenting and life skills classes and relationships okay. classes as well for them. And while they take those free classes, they also earn points to go shopping in our store where they can get diapers and wipes, but also they can get clothing and household goods mm-hmm. And you know, various things that they will need.
Oh, that's so, wonderful.
Yeah. So that's really what we provide there. And then we also actually have a preventative portion of the ministry where we go into the schools, the middle school and the high school, and educate on healthy choices, healthy boundaries, and right. healthy relationships.
Come on.
So it's yeah. really, really good. It's a fun, fun class. Everyone, even the students, enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And it just helps them to recognize that there's lots of healthy choices that they can make.
Right.
And so then we also have a post-abortive healing ministry for women and men who have found that their choice to abort in the past has caused them some kind of ill harm, you know, whether they're have feelings of guilt or shame or whatever it is, that we want them to know that they can find healing. And okay. so we offer two different options there. We offer a one-on-one class where they can walk through the healing process with someone who also is post-abortive and who has gotten healing wow. through Jesus Christ. And then we also have a group option called Abenon. So they can be with some of their peers in a group and find healing and support one another.
Yeah.
And then we also launched Savanon. And so we're in the process of, you know, launching this group, and we're doing a pilot group right now, and it's for sexual abuse victims.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I will say, you know, being in a ministry context in this region, that last one is, I'm just shocked, you know, generally how many people have been sexually abused in our community. The numbers are well underreported because of the shame and different things that go along with that. But I'm just always shocked at the stories that you hear, you know. And so that's awesome that you're creating some opportunities for healing in that arena. Wonderful. How big's your staff?
Well, I'm the only full-time person.
Okay.
But we have six of
okay.
us. And so we great. Have our Melissa, who is our nurse manager, and mm-hmm. she oversees everything medically and clinically. We do have a volunteer medical director, Dr. Guyman in Bonners Ferry, and he's an amazing, amazing Christian man
cool.
who volunteers so much of his time and his skills, not only to us, but to other areas of the community. And so he oversees all medical as well. And so Melissa and he work together in that. And then I have a client services director, Sheila Toldness, and she oversees the volunteers who work with all of the clients who come in. And she cool. is, she's fantastic. She's been with us a little over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Becky, who is the hospitality queen, and she is our administrative assistant, and she welcomes everyone. She's the first person people see when they come in, and
that's cool.
I thank God for that, because she's hospitality all the way, and she makes clients feel immediately comfortable and safe,
yeah.
and it's wonderful. And those three have been champions during this COVID-19 shut down.
Wow.
The three of them are the ones that are, you know, really holding down the fort at the clinic right now, because
okay.
We're not able to do a lot of the coaching and parenting classes or anything. We're figuring out ways right now to offer that virtually to our clients. But they are the ones who are doing the medical services. So
okay.
Yeah. So they're doing the ultrasound to help, you know, women recognize whether or not that pregnancy is viable and in the uterine wall. And they're doing the pregnancy tests as well, and then STD testing and treatment.
Okay. So how many volunteers? You mentioned that you have kind of a group of people that you actually have a coordinator who helps the volunteers get involved and kind of know what to do. And so what would you say kind of your volunteer base is there at Life Choices?
Well, our volunteers are they're heroes. They're just amazing. And they we have about, well, we have four right now. None of them are in the clinic now. They're all time off. But they are amazing. So we have one who is a social media producer, actually, and she's amazing.
Awesome.
She does a lot of our social media and videos, and
that's she's great.
So talented. She's so talented. And then we have Mary and Priscilla and Marilyn and Judy and Hannah, and they are wonderful. And they meet with our clients when they come in normally. And they, just pour out their hearts to them. They offer whatever they That's can great. To them. They love them, and, they educate them with mm-hmm. evidence-based information about their options.
Okay. What's been some of the biggest kind of highlights for you over the past roughly, you know, 5 years that you've been with Life Choices? What if, like, if you could say, man, this has been this thing happened and it was like over the moon, the best thing, you know, some of those kind of highlights for you with working with Life Choices?
Oh gosh, there's so many. Okay. I say to people all the time, you know, a lot of people say, well, gosh, you guys really have a tough job. I mean, I'm sure you have heartbreak all the time. And, you know, we do, we see some tough things, mm-hmm. but you know, the truth of the matter is we also get to see the miracles of God on a daily basis. I mean, literally on a daily basis, we get to see how God just orchestrates things for our clients that you just can't imagine. I mean, there's times where our client will walk in and say, I need this. And we're like, we don't have that in the store. And 15 minutes later, we'll get someone knocking on our door and saying, I don't know why, but I just felt like I needed to bring this to you right now. And we're like, wow,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that kind of stuff happens.
That's awesome.
All the time. And then we have clients who come into us and say, you know, they can't even imagine how they're going to have a baby. And, you know, and then all of a sudden they come into our place and they realize there's all the support. And really what they wanted to do was choose life, but they had no idea how they would do that because they had no support. And so then they realize there's this whole community of support that we can connect them with. And then, you know, there's things like a woman came in one day and she said, there's no way I can have a baby. And, you know, I don't believe in God. And we're like, that's okay. And, you know, that's not a problem for us if it's not a problem for you. And so she was just going on and on about how she just can't imagine having a baby. And we gave her a tour and everything. And she walked into the store and she just kind of started crying. And the client advocate was like, well, what's wrong? Are you okay? And she said, well, she goes, you know, I know I told you I don't believe in God, but she said, I did pray and said to God, if you want me to keep this baby, you're going to have to give me a sign. And she said, and she reached over and grabbed a pair of little construction boots. And she said, this is my sign. And so she said, this is my sign. And the client advocate said, why don't you keep those? And so anyway, began to go through the process of figuring out how she was going to be a parent. And she has kept in contact and she shows pictures of her baby girl. And it's amazing. So those kinds of things happen all the time. I mean, I can't just pick one. There's so many.
That's awesome. Well, I'm going to flip that around on you and ask, you know, what's been some of the most challenging things that you've had to go through there?
I think it's been just seeing that it's disappointing, I guess, that we live in a time where there's people who will claim to be walking with Christ, and then they will say something like, well, we're not necessarily for life for the unborn. And I have a hard time understanding that. And
sure.
I get that people, mm-hmm. you know, want to have choice. I get that. You know, we all want choices. No one wants to be controlled, right? No one wants to be told, you know, you can't do this or you can't do that, right? Like, how many of us have been longing to have an opportunity to stay home for a while, and now that we are supposed to stay home, we're like, no, I can't do this. I need to go. I need to go
out. Get me
out
of here.
Get me out of here. So I understand all that. But
sure.
I have a hard time understanding that that we can't agree that a child that is developing in the womb, just because they're dependent on the mom or just because their location is different, that they're not outside of the body yet, that they don't have the same rights that the rest of us do, a right to live.
Yeah.
And so I think that's been the hardest thing, is trying to communicate with people who believe differently,
mm-hmm.
Without coming across like they're wrong and I'm right, or we're right, those of us who are for the unborn
mm-hmm.
life.
Yeah.
And without argument. I think that's the biggest problem. It's like the thing that's so difficult is, why can't we just have conversations about it? I would love to hear people explain their side and why.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time when I have conversations with people who are willing to talk about it, the reason that they're pro-choice has something to do with something that they've experienced in their life.
Yep.
And I totally understand that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and,
yep.
and at the same time, I recognize that, you know, there's change that's possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
We have choices and we can do things differently. And sometimes, things have been done that are bad and they've been done to us, but we always have choice. And we can choose to allow that to take over our lives, or we can choose to take power over our lives. And, it's just, it's hard to see that people don't want to communicate about it. They'd rather just argue about it or, you know, shame one another. And
mm-hmm.
that's not where we come from in life choices. We don't.
Right.
We're not about that at all. We love anyone and everyone, no matter what they choose. We tell them, you know, if you choose abortion, we're going to still love you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's an interesting season to be alive, because I think so much of the challenges and so many of the things that we're struggling with as a nation, socially, and so many of these things are rooted in really a lot of pain. And I think that the more people are willing to value people's pain instead of shame their pain or instead of judge it, you know, but one of the things that I'm learning more and more is that in order for me to be healthy, just for me as a person, in order for me to be healthy, I have to really, I have to let go of any judgment that I carry around anyone else's pain or their hurts or their issues or their needs or their wants. Because I think the less judging that I do, the more value my voice has, you know, because if I can accept somebody in their pain, then, you know, perhaps I can help comfort them, you know, and help them encounter something better in their life than what they've experienced up to that point. And that's kind of what I'm hearing you say, you know, like, hey, we're not going to come at this situation with whatever their decision is and whatever their belief is from a place of judgment, but really a place of desiring to really help.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you choose. we're going to be here for you regardless. You know, obviously we don't provide for or refer for abortions, but we, you know, we will love them no matter what.
Yeah. You know, I always think it's interesting because so many people don't know where to go, where that unconditional love is really found, especially if you've been in a crisis. And, you know, where am I going to be accepted when I'm experiencing shame and I'm experiencing guilt or I'm experiencing confusion and frustration? So kudos to you guys for having that attitude and that mindset. I think on no matter what side you're on, if we can get some of the basics around how to be on our side, you know, the better we're all going to be, you know, in this process. So, you know.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, our ministry has done a good job of letting the clients that do come in know that unconditional love piece, and that safety. And so we've seen clients come back to us for other issues, you know, later in life, you know, where they are just like, I didn't know where else to go, but I knew I could come here. And
that's great.
And that's just, that's amazing. And so we will do whatever we can to get them connected to the proper resources.
That's great. So what are the big needs that you have right now with Life Choices that you say, hey, this is what we could use right now. This is what we need help with to fulfill kind of the vision of the organization and to fulfill, you know, functionally. Here's what we need. What would you say?
We need more awareness, I think. We have a lot to offer to the community, and we just need people to recognize what we can and do for the community. We have amazing support. We have so many people who give to us just constantly, and so we're really blessed in that way. We need more volunteers, that's for sure. We could use more individuals, and particularly men, who are willing to walk alongside other men who are facing fatherhood for the first time and would really do well with a mentor.
That's great. That's
we could really use men like that.
If you want to raise awareness for Life Choices, what are some ways that people could raise awareness?
Well, we have a Facebook page.
Link is down below in the information on this live stream, by the way.
So we have a Facebook page and an Instagram. And so if people want to share that, then that would be great so that people can understand, you know, a little bit about who we are. I know that social media, you know, we use it a lot these days to kind of get to know a person and or an organization. And so if you follow us on social media for a while, you'll get to know a little bit about who we are. And so if you can share that with people, that would be wonderful.
Awesome. You also have a website, and that's lifechoicespc.org. And that's a place that everybody can go to get information, also to connect with social media. You've got a Get Involved page there that kind of outlines some different opportunities for people. So, yeah, good, good. Hey, you also have some different things that you're starting. Right. You guys decided to move to add some services or actually create a whole nother organization, I believe. Tell us a little bit about the needs that you were seeing and how you kind of came about starting this new project.
Well, over the years, we have seen that our clients were really good at assisting them, those clients that want a parent, for the first 3 to 4 years of the child's life. And after that, we're kind of out of resources. So we have realized that our clients are coming back to us later in life after their children are 7, 8, 9 years old and saying, hey, you know, I really need assistance with this or that. And so we weren't set up to help them. And we started to look at the resources in the community and realized there weren't any.
Wow.
And so we began to call upon the church, and we have amazing church support. We have like 38 different churches that support us.
That's awesome.
And so we started calling the church and saying, hey, we have this need for a client and her family, and can you help? And so we, for the most part, were able to track down the resources that were necessary, but sometimes it took days, weeks. And in the meantime, this family is in crisis and suffering, and potentially these children are in danger of the potential of abuse, abandonment, or neglect. And So we realized that we can't just do it this way. We have to come up with a system. And so we began to pray for that. And over a year's time, we were brought this Safe Families for Children program. And so we took another year to investigate that program and find out whether or not that was what we were actually needing, and whether or not God was calling us to do that. And so we have found that it is what God wants us to do. And it is exactly what not only our clients need, but also as we started talking to Health and Welfare and CASA, different organizations around, we realized that they also want this program here because it's something that helps families in distress. And if a family is in distress and they don't get the help that they need, eventually that could turn into child abandonment, neglect, or abuse. And so we are opening, we started a new 501c3 called Ida Hope Families. And through that 501c3, we will run Safe Families for Children. And so what it does is it just has a circle of support. It was created by individuals working in the healthcare system, health and welfare system in Chicago in 2003. Wow. And so those individuals said, hey, we're doing a great job with this, but we're missing the boat on this. And so they left and started this program. And it's a movement that goes through the church, and they created what's called a circle of support.
Okay.
And so in that circle, there's various volunteer roles, and one is a host family. And that's obviously families that will host children who are in crisis and while the parent is working through the crisis, and they come alongside the parent as well, or parents as well as friends, mentors, and they work together. The parents still have custody of the children during this time, and they are involved in the decision making. It's just that they're putting the children in a safe place while the parents are getting through the crisis. And then they have a family coach role. And that's a role that this person is trained to go into the home on a weekly basis and work with the crisis family in crisis, as well as the host family, so that together we can build a plan and accountability and also support for them to get through the crisis. Right. And then there's a role called a family friend, and the family friend comes alongside the family in crisis and offers things like maybe it's grocery money or groceries. Come alongside as just a friend and befriend the mom or the dad in crisis and say, hey, I'm going to walk through this with you so you don't have to be alone. Or you have a special skill, like you're a mechanic or a carpenter, and you can help fix, you know, if that's the crisis, that the car broke down and mom can't get to work now.
Right.
And so, you know, there's all kinds of things. So it's really an opportunity for anyone and everyone to help these families in crisis.
So you have got this started. You've rolled out your 501c3. You're in the process of getting all this stuff laid out. Where are you at in that process?
Yeah. So we just got our approval for insurance. Our insurance is effective tomorrow. So this is just perfect timing.
Awesome.
And we're in the process of getting the word out to church communities so that we can start to train people in these various roles in the circle of support.
Okay.
So we go through the host families go through about 22, 23 hours of training, and the training is provided by Safe Families for Children. So people who created the program.
That's so good.
These are social workers, doctors, counselors, and they created this program. And so, and then we're trying to build that team of supporters in those various roles so that we can roll out the program. And health and welfare is, you know, they're like, we need it now. We need it now. So,
okay. That was the next, that's the next question, because how, because this is it's not foster care. It's more, it's emergency care, for, you know, families that are in need. What's that relationship look like with health and welfare for, you know, the Idaho families, you know, group?
Yeah, it's actually amazing. They have been super supportive of this program. And what happens is the health and welfare system is overwhelmed. I mean, we need foster parents so badly. This is something that, you know, they have asked me to communicate as well, because there are so many children going into foster care and there's not enough homes to take them. Our children are being shipped off to Boise and different places. So they're far away from home. And so it's really not good. So I would, you know, really encourage your audience to consider foster care as well. But anyway, so what we are focused on is, there's numerous calls that come into health and welfare, but they're not quite, I guess, bad enough to qualify foster care, because the children have not yet been neglected, abused, or abandoned. But health and welfare sees these calls and they're like, but these people need help.
Right.
And they feel like their hands are tied. They can't help them and they know they need help. And so they want to be able to refer those families to us. And so that we can help those families so that they don't get to the point where the children are abandoned, abused, or neglected.
Mm.
And then CASA is excited too, because sometimes the parents have not had their children for a long time and then they get the children back and they may not feel quite as equipped as they'd like to be. Okay. And so our family friends or our family coaches can walk alongside those parents for a period of time, helping them so that they can, you know, not be alone and giving them encouragement, support, and mentoring.
Come on.
We're working together. It's
that is so great. That is so great, Christine. And it seems like this would be something that not only, you know, it seems like something that a lot of people with a lot of different backgrounds and capacities could really invest in and be a part of.
Absolutely. And there's a place for anyone and everyone. There's a place for 18-year-olds. You know, we have, for instance, a family who is got custody of their 16-year-old autistic.
Okay.
And, you know, from time to time, they need respite, right? They need someone to come in and help, and they need some rest. And so if we had an 18-year-old who was trained as a family friend who come alongside and take that 16-year-old out bowling or something and take him for a few hours and just encourage him and, you know, as a peer, and then give the grandparents some respite time.
That's great. That's great. So now that this is, I just want to jump onto the live chat real quick, because Neela, who I introduced you to in Seattle, Neela says, excellent. And then one of the questions that we've got come up that Ron's asking, how does IdaHope directly impact life choices?
So IdaHope was created specifically because our clients were coming to us with these needs. And Life Choices was just not designed to support those needs. And so that's how IdaHope got birthed, from the client's needs of Life Choices.
That's great. That's awesome. That's awesome. Do you think, so you're running both then. You're going to run IdaHope Families, and then you're also running Life Choices Pregnancy Center. When you look at down the road, do you expect these services to be in high demand?
Yes, I do. And in fact, right now, what we're experiencing, this social isolation, is one of the red flags for potential crisis with families and children. And so social isolation causes, you know, can cause a child abuse and neglect and abandonment. And so we think that there's going to be not only a wave of unplanned pregnancies coming in 6 weeks or so because
Correct.
everybody's at
Yep.
home and bored, and
Yep.
right. But there's also going to be this need of families who say, you know, I'm really at my wit's end. Not only that, but with people out of work, right? So we're inviting those people who still, you know, maybe still have work and still have, you know, groceries. We're inviting those individuals into this family friend arena, this role, to walk alongside these families who we're
Wow.
going to see in the upcoming months
Yeah.
who are in really difficult situations financially.
Wow. So, something else has happened today that right before the show, your website went live
Yes.
for idahopefamilies.org.
Yes.
And so what are some things people are going to be able to find on your website that they should be looking for?
Well, there's ways to get involved. So those of you who want to become a family friend, or maybe you think, you know, oh, I have a special skill of some kind that I'd like to offer to help others. So you can click on the Get Involved tab and do that. Obviously the website will also have some video testimonies of how Safe Families for Children has helped other families so that you can kind of get an idea of exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, I watched those. They're good. Yeah, really good testimonies on there. Yeah, good. So when we look at this current, you mentioned it a little bit, like you're seeing, like, hey, this actually the social distancing could be creating some crisis that we are not even aware of yet. Some things potentially happening behind the scenes. What do you recommend? Is there anything that you recommend people do to, I just think about simply reaching out to your neighbors via phone or message or whatever, and just checking in on people, how you doing, and starting conversations. Is there anything else that people can be doing to help during this time of social distancing?
I think obviously reaching out to your neighbor, yes, is an excellent idea. I think, you know, everyone's on social media right now, right? There's so much internet action happening. If you are on social
Crazy.
media and, you know, you can just reach out to a friend, or maybe you'll invite a friend to, I don't know what, maybe you can watch a movie together virtually, or, you know, just allow for people to have connection right now is so huge. And so if we can just reach out to people, and you know, I've seen some individuals even posting on their Facebook page, hey, I'm available to go grocery shopping for any of those individuals who are elderly or immune compromised, and I'd be glad to go pick up groceries for you and bring them to your home and leave them outside your door. Just anything that we can do to help each other right now is going to be wonderful.
You know, one of the beautiful things about technology we are doing online games like bingo and other things via Zoom with friends, and you know, kind of our church gatherings, small group gatherings are all happening online, you know, some of that kind of stuff. So you know, look, reach out, try and find some people that you can connect with, especially if you know, get a sense. Like the one thing I've said several times, I think, on the show, is that if you sense that you should probably do something like reach out to somebody or talk to them, just follow the nudge. Just follow the nudge. And it's, you know, I'm not gonna super spiritualize that to be God talking to you, but sometimes when you get a sense that something needs to happen, just follow the nudge. I've always been blown away by the fruit and the great things that happen when I just follow the nudge. And just make the text and just step out of my comfort zone or call somebody or do the thing that I'm kind of getting just internally nudged to do. So everybody just listen to that push, follow the nudge, and reach out to the people around you. So
Agreed.
yeah. Hey, as we kind of wrap up our time here, what are some, oh, let me just say one other thing is that if people are interested in being a host family or any of those three things, what do you recommend that they do?
Well, they can contact me directly. My email either at Life Choices or at Idaho Families. They can go to the website and they can contact me through the website. They can call. They can call 208-295-SAFE. And that's our number for the Idaho Families line. And so they can call that number and let us know that they're interested or they would want more information. And we're doing regular informational meetings via Zoom.
Okay.
We're doing them almost weekly right now so that people can get a better sense of those various roles.
And on your website, there are links to the applications. So if people are like, hey, I really am ready to go, download an application, fill it out, give Christine a call, and get connected. So that's great. What if I'm a family that I go, I need help, right? Is it just the same process, or what do you recommend there?
Yes, on the website, there's a little tab that says Get Help. And so they can click on that and fill out the information of, you know, what type of help they need. And that'll come directly to us. Or they can call that same number, 208-295-SAFE.
Perfect. Great. Great. So any parting thoughts that you have for us, Christine, as we kind of wrap up our show here?
Well, I just want to say I feel so blessed. So many supportive people who are watching today. Mm-hmm. Thank you to you, Chris, for doing this and for offering a platform where we all get to talk about the things that are, you know, we're passionate about, but the things that are going to be able to help the community. And so I would just encourage everyone to do what Chris said, and that is follow the nudge. And you all have something to give. And so I would encourage you to consider giving that to bless someone else.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Well, Christine, thank you so much for coming on today. The show notes will be updated below the title. Of course, this live video will be available. I froze. Ha ha. Right as we close. Gotta love it. I'm talking, but nothing's moving. wait, hopefully I can get myself back. let me just say that the show notes will be updated. I think my thing's just on pause here. Zoom decided to pause. So show notes will be updated, and this will be live or updated on YouTube and anywhere that you download podcasts. Again, thank you to Ting as our sponsor. Again, thank you also to BCHA for providing us this space. And with that, I normally would be smiling and waving and everything else, but Zoom has decided to shut down. And with that, we say have a wonderful day. Thanks so much for coming on, Christine.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Thank you for watching this episode of the Barner Breakdown. Special thanks to Ting and BCHA for sponsoring this show. For more shows or to be a guest, please visit BarnerBreakdown.com. Have a great day.